Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We receive many invitations during our lifetime. We're invited to birthday parties, weddings, anniversary celebrations, baptisms, first communions, retirement parties, welcome receptions for new neighbors or new employees. Some of those invitations we accept and we enjoy being part of. Other invitations we turn down for whatever reason. However, none of those invitations hold a candle to the most important invitation that you and I have ever received, which is the one that is the theme for our readings on this third Sunday of Ordinary Time in this new year, 2023. It's an invitation from Jesus, and it's an invitation to follow him and to share in his mission and in his ministry. It's fitting that we begin this new year renewing our response to his invitation to live as his faithful disciples. These readings we tonight almost have a Christmas theme about them, though Christmas decorations are long put away. We still hear a reflection concerning a people who walked in darkness, who have now seen a great light and are invited to walk in that light. Tonight's first reading is the same first reading we heard if we went to midnight Mass on Christmas. Today's gospel begins with our reflecting on the mission of Jesus from the perspective of St. Matthew. Matthew says that after Jesus' time of discernment in the desert, he learned that John the Baptist had been arrested. So on hearing this news, Jesus left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum, a bustling fishing village by the sea. Matthew describes Jesus as a prophet on the move. He was a man whose life would be in danger from the moment he began his public ministry. Matthew tells us that Jesus began to preach, and his message was very simple. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was calling people to change, a change that was going to lead them to conversion and healing, a call that would be accepted by some and rejected by others. Now, from the beginning, Jesus had no intention of carrying out this mission alone. He turned to specific people, inviting them to join him, betting their lives on the good news that he was announcing. We meet two sets of brothers in this gospel. And siblings are a unique gift in every one of our lives. The terms brother and sister stir up certain feelings within each one of us. I have just one brother and no sisters. Dave is older than I am, so at times, I'll admit, I was the pesky little brother. You know, you always want to hang around with older siblings. My brother and I are very different people. We don't look alike. He is a husband, a father of five, a grandfather of 10, and a great-grandfather of 2. And I'm a celibate priest. Very different men, very different walks of life. We have very different personalities, very different gifts. My brother takes more after my dad, while I take after my mom. But despite our differences, we love each other very deeply, and we're very close to one another, and we would do anything for one another. But that happened and deepened the older we got. You know, growing up in the same household, you don't always consider your siblings your best friends. At times, there's that younger sibling that can get into our things, and they seem like pests. And they can be easily ignored by older brothers and sisters. But later in life, we realize what a gift each brother and sister really is to us. As Jesus is walking by the sea, he spots two brothers, Simon and Andrew. They were fishermen, so of course, they're casting their nets into the sea. Jesus offers them an interesting invitation. He says, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of people rather than fish. You are going to bring men, women, and children to me and to my way of life." And the gospel says at once, they left their nets and followed him. Then they walked on. They encounter another set of brothers, James and John, who are mending their nets with their father Zebedee. Now, obviously, for James and John, this was a family business. They're working with their dad. And he called those brothers, and immediately they left their boat and their father Zebedee. And, you know, whenever I hear this story, I always have sort of a soft spot in my heart for their dad, Zebedee. I think here he is working with his boys. Along comes this stranger. Jesus had really no backing at that point. He was an itinerant preacher, but he had a magnetism that drew these men to follow him. And, you know, certainly the boys had to find family members and friends who tried to say to them, "What are you guys doing? Why are you walking away from your dad and the family business to follow a stranger when you have no idea where he's leading you?" But even the best arguments from family and friends could not sway these four brothers from following Jesus. Jesus knew his mission was going to be a tough one. He knew that many people were going to reject him and reject his message of love and forgiveness. So he invites companions to join him on this journey. Four brothers in today's gospel, but soon after that, he began adding women disciples as he walked along the way. Those people formed a community, a support system, and they went out and they preached and healed and continued to welcome people to join them. Now, the prophet Isaiah in our first reading is dealing with a dark time in Judah's history. Isaiah witnessed the conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel. He's seeking to give these people hope, for they walked in darkness and they dwelt in a land of gloom. But he says, "Now over you a light has shone, and that light will bring you abundant joy and great rejoicing." Gloom and darkness would be lifted, and the light will shine on the land and the people. This is the very same message that years later, Jesus and his first disciples would preach to the people that they sought to bring out of their own personal darkness, accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and inviting them to walk in his light. The light of Jesus would reflect love and forgiveness. It would reflect compassion and understanding. Jesus wanted faithful companions on his journey, and thus he invited Simon and Andrew and James and John to leave their call as fishermen, just as he invites us to follow and be his faithful disciples in today's world. Those four brothers were to lead others to Jesus. And that, my brothers and sisters, is our call in today's world, to help people we know come to encounter and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we know, that can cause division in families and among friends, which is exactly what St. Paul is addressing in tonight's second reading. Paul is urging the Corinthians. He says, don't have divisions among you. Rather, he says, be united. Be of the same mind and the same purpose. Paul feels that their divisions among them are sort of stemming from their allegiance to various members of the community. He says, some of you are saying, I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Cephas. I belong to Christ. Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul is challenging these Corinthians to unity. They must pledge their allegiance to one man who is Lord and Savior of us all, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, they are such a gift in all of our lives. We may not realize that when we're growing up in the same home, but later in life, their giftedness becomes obvious and evident to us. Jesus calls two brother teams to follow him, to share his ministry in this gospel. He calls us and he calls our siblings to follow him and share his ministry in the new year. Now, there's no guarantee where the Lord might lead us this year. There is no sense of exactly to whom God is calling each one of us to go. But his call to us is real, just as it was real to James and John and Simon and Andrew. Do you and I, as we sit before the Lord this day, have that same sense of deep trust and courage to follow Jesus, the same journey that Simon, Andrew, James and John had the courage to take?